Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we'll talk about mobile businesses. Now, you may think of food trucks, like the ones peppered along university parks, when you hear the phrase mobile business. But being mobile isn't just about offering that late-night taco fix. It's increasingly become a platform to provide a convenient means for other goods and services. In this episode of Behind the Story, we explore the world of mobile barbershops. And after a story on those types of businesses, we'll hear from two barbers from Killeen that have made the mobile jump. This is Behind the Story. A portable Honda generator rattles off as I walk up to James Plowden's customized trailer. Plowden tells me all this juice is powering everything inside, from clippers to a hot towel machine. Now, if it sounds like this trailer is a barbershop, that's because it is.
It's a small space, but a booth normally is small in a shop, so it's actually bigger than a booth. You know, it's like a suite.
Plowden, who has been cutting hair for about 10 years, says he wanted to go mobile to cut down on the dead time he would regularly face when working in a shop.
Time is money, and you know, if you're sitting not doing anything, you're wasting time to me. You know, so the reason I wanted to go mobile is to cut out that dead time, or be able to use that time that I'm sitting to do something else.
A year ago, the 39-year-old barber left behind the brick-and-mortar barbershop he worked at and the booth rental that went along with it. As an independent contractor, Plowden says he was paying roughly $500 a month just for space. Although his trailer cost him about $20,000 to specially outfit, he says he's been able to reduce his overhead and that over time, he'll spend less than when he rented.
Coming out with a trailer for $20,000, something that I own, versus paying rent for God knows how long, you know, that's a tremendous break in cost right there.
But Plowden isn't the only brick-and-mortar barber to realize the potential cost-effectiveness of making the mobile jump. Since 2008, Texas has allowed for special licensing for mobile barbershops, and today there are 17 certified mobile barbers in the Lone Star State. Now, to be licensed and a state-sanctioned operation, mobile barbers must, like their conventional counterparts, meet certain requirements and pass inspections. But unlike them, they have to keep a GPS on board or submit a weekly itinerary of locations they'll be at. It's what Deidre Bass does. Bass, who has been cutting hair professionally for more than 20 years, used to own a salon in Killeen but left it to go mobile. The change, Bass says, has meant paying about one-third of what it costs to operate out of a building, but it's also given her more control over the hours she works.
People are now wanting quick service, you know, and they want specialized service. And so everybody's in kind of like a rush, in a sense, you know, and so everybody doesn't want to wait.
And people are willing to pay extra for something that's quick, convenient, and personalized, says Marlene Reed. Reed is a professor and the entrepreneur in residence at Baylor University.
People have become so busy. Time is probably the most scarce of all of our resources, maybe even more so than money for many people. And they want somebody to come and do something for them on their premises or at work.
The common denominator, however, between brick-and-mortar setups and mobile ones is an age-old business concern. Location, location, location.
You can't just pull up anywhere just because you're mobile and you have a license. You have to ask permission. And then if you pull up on someone's property and they already have a barbershop, of course they're going to say, hey, no, you know, that's competition.
While figuring out a location can be a bit of a drawback, Bass has been able to set up three standard spots she operates out of throughout the week. But Plowden, who has gone to apartment complexes and a friend's restaurant in the past, is now set up outside of his house. He's still figuring out new potential locations and ways to fine-tune his mobile operation. But as he tells me, the important part of being a barber is having that established relationship with clients. People can be pretty particular about who cuts their hair. So no matter where mobile barbershops are parked, he says, clients will come for a familiar haircut. For KWBU, I'm Carlos Morales. Now we'll hear more from James Plowden, owner and operator of Jay's Mobile Barber Service in Killeen. Jay, what really got you going and interested in setting up a mobile barbershop?
Well, to be honest, when I kind of got into the industry, for some reason, mobile just was seeming like a great idea to do. Like, if I just didn't figure out the best way to be mobile at that point. But I went out and I established my assumed name in like April of 2008 and got my EIM number. Even though I was working in a business, I still was self-employed as an independent contractor. So I wanted to establish my EIN number.
What's the EIN?
EIN, your tax ID number.
Oh, right,
you know,
right,
your
okay.
Tax ID.
For Jay's Mobile.
Well, yeah, I Jay's Mobile Barber, the assumed name and tax ID number has been established since 08. I just didn't know how to do it, or I didn't figure out what avenue that I would really be comfortable with just taking off and doing it. And finally, it kind of came to me to maybe get a camper or something with space and for people to be comfortable, but just enough room for me to work. But the whole idea of being mobile, and especially after 10 years of being in the industry, it's a lot of dead time as being a barber. And because you got to understand that most jobs are 9-to-5 jobs. You know, most people work from 9-to-5, and kids go to school from about 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So during that time of day, it's dead. You know, you get a few customers here and there, but you're just kind of sitting, waiting, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's time is money. And you know, if you're sitting, not doing anything, you're wasting time to me, you know? So the reason I wanted to go mobile is to cut out that dead time or be able to use that time that I'm sitting to do something else. But when you're in a brick and mortar type environment of a business and you have set business hours, you kind of have to be in place. Because if you're not there, because you're not doing something, you want to go run out and go pay some bills or just maybe go clear your head and walk through the mall or whatever just to get out of that environment because you're bored. If you leave, then if a potential customer comes, then you're missing out on money. And if you leave, say you're the only person in the building, you can't just lock the doors and leave, because if you do that, now when people come, the business reputation is going to go down. Because what people are going to say is, every time, or when I went to that business, it was closed. Why is this business closed and the hours say they're open from 9 to 7? So that's going to cause a problem in the community, and people aren't going to be happy with you because you're not doing what you said you're going to do. So, and also going back to scheduling for people's schedules, most once they get off, that's usually our busy time. That's when you get the busiest, like maybe from like 4 until about 7-8 o'clock. That's the busiest time of the day for most barbers. So then, but most barbershops close around 6 o'clock. So people get off at 5, you're only giving them an hour window to get their haircut, which also will affect your profit. So I'm thinking mobile barber, because I'm thinking if I could bring my barber services to people who are busy or have other things and they just can't make it out to the barbershop until later on that evening when they get off, if I could bring it to them, I can cut out my dead time, and I can be making money steadily all day. It could be by bringing my services to the masses or bringing my service to an individual rather than them trying to make it through traffic and get to me. Because I mean, if you only have an hour for lunch and maybe you need to go you want to eat at lunch, and you also may try to get a haircut, but traffic, you want to eat your food and enjoy it or whatever, it's just not enough time. So it's mostly about convenience, time, money, not only the client's time and convenience, but for myself as well, just trying to find a happy medium to be profitable and just bring a service to the public.
It seems like being mobile kind of makes you on call in a way.
Yeah, for the most part. I do a lot of stuff by appointments, via text messages, phone calls. I also use an app called Booksy, which Booksy is an app that people can download to their phone. It's a business part, and then there's a client portion to Booksy. When a client books appointment on Booksy, they it sends me an alert. It lets me know I have an appointment, and then that client also gets an alert, and I believe they get reminders once it's around time for their appointment time. And it just helps me to stay organized. It helps me to know what I have, I'm facing through that day. And I try to leave, it takes me around maybe 15 to 30 minutes to do an adult male's haircut. So on Booksy, I have the time, most of the time it's 45 minutes when you establish an appointment, to give me a cushion just in case something, the haircut may become difficult, or I may cut the hair one way, then the client may not really like that, so they kind of want something different. Sometimes people aren't sure what they want, or if they're my first time cutting the client's hair, I'm usually more precautious because to ensure that I give them what they want. So I just take time, and I'm not it's not like a sweatshop. I'm not trying to rush you in and out anyway. I want you to come in and be comfortable. I want to take my time. I want you to come in and relax. I want to give you the best service that I can give. And it's just, but being on call is good because it just gives me a lot more control over what I'm doing.
And compared to being an independent contractor in a shop and you know, having booth rental fees and things like that, how does going mobile affect your overhead cost?
Oh yes, overhead goes down massively. Just from booth rental, I mean, that I was paying right at about $500 a month just to rent space, and it's a small amount of space. And then dealing with that, also, like I'm saying, I was putting in hours, you know, to make sure the business was reputable and we stayed open and people came. But the it's just my own freedoms, my own, I can control my atmosphere, you know what I mean, because it's just myself. So it's comfortable in that sense, you know. I mean, I don't have to really. If there's seven other barbers, then you know you kind of got sharing space. You have to be, you know, cordial and all that stuff. And then sometimes you may disagree, you know. And you know, just it's sometimes it becomes kind of hectic and a lot of drama. But this reduces the drama so much. There is no drama, you know. I mean, I'm professional with my clients. My clients are in return professional with me. So it all runs very, very smooth.
Jay, I want to go back real quick and talk about when you were getting your mobile shop set up. You said you had the idea for it back in 2008, but it's only recently that you began operating, right?
Around 2014, the trailer concept came in. And I went and looked at some trailers, and I went online and I seen this particular trailer. So I got it from a trailer dealer in Waco, Fields Trailer. And I went down there and I looked at it physically, and I fell in love with it. And I just knew it was enough space. It was clean. It looks professional. It looks like, you know, because appearance is everything. First impressions is everything. And it, to me, it was perfect for giving off a professional environment, a clean environment, having enough space to make people feel comfortable and not cram, and enough space for me to work comfortably. So the trailer was custom built, because that's just how they do it. For a trailer of this size, you have to order it. So you can have it done pretty much the way you want to. So I just told them I needed storage space for products. I needed a shampoo bowl. I needed a sink for washing my hands. And I need good lighting. And a company out of Georgia makes the trailers, and or this particular trailer. And it took about 20 months for them to actually have it finished and stuff like that. So, you know, I waited. Then once I got the trailer in my possession, I started, you know, some decor and prepping it and giving it that barbershop feel and that barbershop look and just making it comfortable for me. I was still working at the other shop while getting this prepared. And just, you know, every day, you know, I did something different. I'd get more and more excited and stuff like that. So, you know, just kind of start coming together, you know.
You know, Jay, on any given day, how busy would you say it gets here at the shop? And, you know, what's, I guess, that business model like for you? You know, what kind of businesses are you trying to go out to or groups you're trying to cater to when it comes to cutting hair?
It depends. I mean, because, to be honest, a lot of my clientele are children, school-age children. They're involved. They have school. A lot of them are involved in sports and other after-school activities and stuff like that. So a lot of times their Saturdays may be taken up because they have to play sports, or their evenings are taken up because they have to go to practice. But I do pretty good, maybe like anywhere from 7 to 10 heads a day. You know, but it may be a late start in the day. It may not be an early start. My ideal, or what I want to do, or how I want the business to be run, I want to bring my services to the masses. I would like to do small groups or even large groups of people at one time, and have that like on a continuous basis. Say once a month or twice a month, I go to this business or establishment, and I cut maybe 10 to 20 heads at this place, and that's on a routine basis. And I just take care of these people, like say a nursing home where people can't get out and they can't move around and they're elderly or whatever. And I go there and they have, you know, say 10 guys that just want to look good. You know what I mean? They want a good shave. Want a good hot shave and get all the stubble off, and maybe some conversation, see somebody different besides the nurses and stuff like that. So I go, say early in the morning, maybe six o'clock, from 6 to 11. I go cater to these people, and I cut their hair, and I do this routinely once a month. I mean, these are the things that I would like to do. Maybe a firehouse, go to a fire station. When they're on duty, they're on duty, and they have to stay at the firehouse. You know, I go up to the firehouse, cut the guy's hair, give him a nice, good haircut, clean shave, just some relaxed time. Maybe they just hustle and bustle or nothing, or they just haven't been doing nothing. But, you know, everybody wants to look nice. I mean, we're America. I mean, everybody wants to look good. The image is everything, you know. So I just want any group. It could be a little league team, AAU team. They practicing all the time. You know, I mean, I cut the kids' hair after practice or something before practice. They all link up together. They all get haircuts. And maybe I give them a discount for it being 20 kids. I give them a discount. And then as a... like a sponsorship type thing, for every cut I get and they're loyal to me, I give back $2 for every head I cut. I give back $2 to the organization so they can buy uniforms or they can pay for the things that they need to pay for. But for them supporting me, I give the support back. You know, I would love to have sponsorship by any business that want to do business with me. I would love to allow business to advertise. This is a big trailer. I would love to a business to put their logo, their monogram, or whatever they would like on the side of my business or inside my business and advertise their business, and they pay me a cost or whatever. It's all business. It's all about time. It's all about catering to everybody. It's about being a part of the community. I mean, I like what I do. I love what I do. And the only way I'm going to grow or anything, I have to be involved with the community. So there's going to be times where I have to give back. There's going to be time when I have to reduce my prices to cater to folks if they're bringing me a large amount of business. I mean, it's only right. It's only fair.
And now we'll hear from Deirdre Bass, another barber who's recently made the mobile jump. Deirdre, I'm wondering here, you know, going mobile seems like it's a big leap to take, no matter how many years experience cutting hair. So what really gave you that confidence going forward?
Actually, I started out mobile when I was in barber school, when the soldiers went to Saudi. I had a lot of friends who needed their kids' haircut, and I was always cutting hair in my government quarters, a little bit on the side. So I said, you know what, my husband's not here. A lot of the husbands are gone and deployed. I'll just take my clippers in a bag and my kids, and I just went to their homes and cut hair. And I said, you know what, one day I want to do that again, but I want to do it self-contained. So it whole full circle. So now I actually found, this was my third vehicle. I actually had two others that weren't actually fit for what I needed to do, so I sold those, and then I found this one here in Killeen. And it took me about a year to actually get it renovated.
And this is an RV?
Yes, it is. It's an RV. And my husband, he gutted it out, and I had a couple of other guys to come in and put my cabinets in and the sink. It already had a sink. I just had to put a shampoo bowl in here. Yeah, it had the shampoo because it had a stove, propane, all of that already in here. But my husband had to get all that out.
So having worked in a brick and mortar shop before, what are some of the differences you've seen so far between that type of operation and the one you have with your mobile business?
Less overhead. I do appointments only, no walk-ins. So that makes my schedule a lot more flexible. Whereas when I was in the shop, I had to sit and wait. I could have had appointments then, but I had such a large clientele, it was kind of hard to do that for me personally. But I like this better because it's personal. Everybody has their own individual time. And I can cater to businessmen, you know, doctors, pastors, different ones that don't really have a schedule to just come in the shop and just sit and wait.
So how does your mobile business work exactly? Do you go out to each person's house, each customer you have, or do you have like these locations that, you know, these set standard locations that you go to throughout the week?
Actually, I only have like four locations because everybody is not willing. I can go from house to house, but that's not as it would be not advantageous when it comes to finance because I got to put gas in here to go from house to house to house. So really, I go to different locations. I have CHOP, which is my church, the Christian House of Prayer. I park in their parking lot one day a week. I have another guy that I do his hair as well and other and his workers. He owns Running Right Auto Center across the street. I'm there. I actually go to Chisholm Family Funeral Home, which is I cut the guys there as well. And I also cut the deceased.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do that. And then I'll park here in front of my home. And in this neighborhood, they come to me.
So, you know, knowing what you know now, Deirdre, would you have done anything differently when you were getting ready to start, you know, your mobile business?
Yeah, what I would have done differently is this is an older RV. And I probably would have gotten a more up-to-date RV because of the different specs that it has on it. I've had a little, you know, a few problems with the technical things, you know, the generator. I had to put a new generator in it. I've had to have the engine redone and different things like that. But if I had a more up-to-date RV, I would have had a pure gut, just maybe from the ground, you know, nothing inside, and go that way versus renovating it. That would have been a whole lot easier. It may have cost more, but it would have been a whole lot easier because this is an older RV. And the new air conditioners that they have in the newer RVs are just as efficient as they are in your home. But, I mean, you know, that's the only thing that I would do differently.
Going into all of this, what's been the biggest reward, or I guess the biggest plus in going mobile?
Less overhead. I do appointments only, no walk-ins. So that makes my schedule a lot more flexible. Whereas when I was in the shop, I had to sit and wait. I could have had appointments then, but I had such a large clientele, it was kind of hard to do that for me personally. But I like this better because it's personal. Everybody has their own individual time. And I can cater to businessmen, you know, doctors, pastors, different ones that don't really have a schedule to just come in the shop and just sit and wait.
Has going mobile allowed you to really personalize your service to a level that a regular, you know, brick and mortar barbershop might not allow you to?
People are now wanting quick service, you know, and they want specialized service. And so everybody's in kind of like a rush in a sense, you know, and so everybody doesn't want to wait, you know, although some of those food trucks and even my appointment schedule gets really booked up. I mean, we're to the point where I have people calling and I have to turn them down because a lot of the people want haircuts in the evening and that's when it kind of piles up. But, you know, I mean, it's a good thing that I get booked up. So, I mean, it just depends. It depends on what they want, what people want. People want personalized service, and a lot of people are willing to pay for that.
And you know, one thing I just thought of real quick is it seems that, you know, barbering is one of those types of businesses where you find someone you're comfortable with and you stick with it. So it makes sense that, you know, you get a established clientele base and they're willing to stick with you and follow you because you know how to cut their hair right.
Yeah, it is. But for me, by me being the only one and I can't cut with so many people in a day, I don't overbook myself. Once I'm done, I'm done. I can't cut with so many in a day. Even when I was in the shop on a regular basis, I mean, sometimes I would stay there till 8, 9 o'clock at night trying to cut everybody. But this way, it kind of eliminated some of that stress off of me. I no longer work long hours like I used to. I book them about 30 minutes apart. Whoever I get in, I get in. If not, they have to wait till the next week if I have an opening.
And how many heads would you say that you cut in any given day, given your appointment-based setup?
I have cut as many as 20 in a day in this actual mobile, but in my shop I was cutting 30, just depending on the day, the time of the month. This is a military town, so soldiers get paid the 1st and the 15th. Every Friday, of course, everybody wants to come in, and Saturdays, those are popular days. You have people that come weekly as well as bi-weekly, so it varied. But the max is usually about 20, 25 people. I try to not go over that because I can't fit but so many in a day. My hours are from 9 to 6. So if I'm cutting from 9 to 6, I'm only doing 30-minute intricate, you know, maybe 15, 20. It just depends on how many I have actually scheduled that day and what type of haircut or service that I'm providing for that person.
That was Deirdre Bass, a barber who's recently made the mobile jump. And before her, we heard from James Plowden, owner and operator of Jay's Mobile Barber Service in Killeen. To hear this episode and past episodes of Behind the Story, you can visit our website at kwbu.org.